Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from 1 John chapter 5. Now, I concluded this whole book of 1 John in the last message, but I want to look at the last few verses of 1 John chapter 5 concerning this subject, the whole world. The whole world. And I'm going to begin in verse 18 and go over some of the points that I brought out in the last message. But I want to talk about this word world in the Bible, because many people don't understand when the Bible speaks of the world, W-R-O-R-L-D, what it really means. Most people just automatically conclude that it's talking about every person in the world, or every person that has ever been born, is living today, or ever will be born. And what I want to show you is that that's not the case in any use of the word world in the Bible. For example, in our passage of Scripture here we're going to look at, we see that the word world is used only to describe a certain group of people, but not all people without exception. And what you need to understand in reading the Bible is when you see the word world or the whole world, the context determines who the Lord is speaking of in those passages. So let's look at 1 John 5, verse 18. He begins here, he says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Now, there's several things here you need to understand in this one verse, in the context of the book of 1 John and in the context of the whole Bible. First of all, who is he talking about here when he says, "Whosoever is born of God sinneth not"? Well, he's talking about all those sinners who have been saved by the grace of God, and they have been born again by the Spirit. Whosoever is born of God. That's the new birth. That's what Christ spoke of in John chapter 3 when he was speaking to Nicodemus. And he said, you must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, born of the Word, begotten by the Word of God. The new birth is the application of the grace and power and goodness of God into the life of one of His chosen people, chosen before the foundation of the world in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been adopted into His family, those who have been saved by His grace, redeemed by the blood of Christ. They are the adopted children of God, and when they're born again by the Spirit, they're brought into the family of God spiritually. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 4, listen to these verses here beginning at verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son," now that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, and it said He's made of a woman. That's His incarnation. That's the creation of His sinless humanity in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. And it says, made under the law. That means all of the conditions of the salvation of His people were placed upon Him. He went under the law to do for them what they could not do for themselves. You see, we cannot be saved by the law. The law condemns us. We cannot be saved by our works. That's what that means. So Christ, having been made our surety before the foundation of the surety, and when I say ours, I'm talking about believers now. I'm not talking about all without exception. Christ was not made the surety of all people without exception. If he was, you'd be all people without exception would be saved. A surety is one who takes the debt of another and pays the debt. And if the debt is paid, you cannot perish, because that's salvation. So Christ is the surety of all the people whom God gave to him before the foundation of the world. Their names were written on the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 13 tells us. And he was made under the law as their surety. He came into the world and united himself with sinless humanity, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, the God-man. And he substituted himself under the law to keep the law and die on the cross to redeem them from their sins. And that's what he says here in Galatians 4:5. He's the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, the adoption was set forth by God before the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. But there had to be a spirit, there had to be a legal salvation, which Christ took, which took place in Christ as he died for our sins, died for the sins of his people. And then they have to be brought spiritually into the family of God. Look at verse 6. And because you are sons, now notice it doesn't say in order to become sons or to become children. This would include women also. This is the generic form of sons, children of God. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that Abba, Father denotes that special relationship that God's children have with him. Not everybody without exception now, but only God's children. And that's what he's talking about over here in 1 John 5:18. Whosoever is born of God, they're the children of God. And how do you know they're born of children? How do you know you're born again? Well, you're born again under the preaching of the true gospel. That's the main thing. That's what you got to look for. Am I hearing? You know, you're sitting in a religious organization. You're sitting in a pew somewhere. And you're hearing a preacher preach. And you got to say, am I really hearing what the Word of God says in the gospel? Now, you might say yes readily. But you need to search. You need to think about this. You need to listen critically. Not trying to find something wrong, but making sure that the preacher's telling you the truth and preaching the gospel, the true gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled all those conditions to secure the eternal salvation and life of all for whom he died, was buried, and arose again, establishing righteousness for them, his righteousness imputed to them, charged to them, by which God justifies them, and from which they have life from the dead, born of God. Now back in 1 John 5:18, he says, he that is born of God sinneth not. Now what does that mean? John had already said over in 1 John 1 that if we deny that we're sinners, we make God a liar. Listen, if you're living on this earth, and I assume you are if you're listening to this program, you're either a sinner lost in your sins, or you're a sinner saved by grace. And you cannot say that you don't sin in the sense of going through life not achieving the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. You don't have that in you, and I don't have it in me. We're sinners. So what does he mean, sinneth not? Well, he's talking about a specific thing here. And he related it back all through the book of 1 John. It's a particular sin. the sin of apostasy. And that means that if you're born of God, if you're truly born of God, you cannot apostatize. Now, what does that mean? That means fall away completely from Christ. Somebody said, well, you believe once saved, always saved. Well, I'd put it this way. If you're truly saved, you will always be saved. If you're not truly saved, you can lose it. You never had it to begin with. Now, John dealt with that back in 1 John 2. You can read it in 1 John 2, 18 and 19. There were people there who claimed to believe Christ, follow Him, gave evidence to people that they were saved, but they turned around and turned their back on Christ. They totally left the faith and the fellowship of believers. They turned their back and they called Christ accursed. They never were saved. But if you're born of God, you cannot do that. And there's reasons you can't. Number one is because God won't let you. He keeps His people. And number two, they persevere because of the power of the Spirit within. And that's what He's talking about. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now, what do you mean, keep myself? Well, that means we persevere in the faith. We keep ourselves looking to Christ, resting in Christ. But now, we don't keep ourselves by our own power or our own goodness or even our own determination, even though we do, by the grace of God, determine to stay with Christ. But it's only by the power and the goodness and the grace of God. He preserves us. He will not let us go. Christ said it in John 10, His sheep hear His voice and they will not leave Him. He says, they cannot perish. They're in His Father's hand. And no one can pluck them out of His Father's hand. And He says, now those who are born of God, who sinneth not, who cannot apostatize from the faith, but keep themselves, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, persevere in the faith, by the grace of God, that wicked one toucheth him not. Satan is the wicked one. And when it says doesn't touch him, what he means is that Satan cannot completely divorce that person from Christ. Now, Satan can attack him. Satan can even deal with him as he dealt with Job. God let him do that. But Satan cannot totally separate that born-again child of God from Christ. He can't do that. And thank God he cannot. And so he says in verse 19, now listen. Listen to this. This gets to our subject, the whole word. And we know that we are of God. Now there's one group of people who are of God. These are the chosen of God. The Bible calls them the elect of God. Elect, chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. These are the justified people. What do you mean justified? That means they are just before God. They're made right with God. Their sins are forgiven on a just ground. And that just ground is the blood of Jesus Christ. They are declared righteous in Christ on a just ground. And that just ground is Christ's righteousness imputed to them, charged to them. It's not their works. It's His work. They are the redeemed ones. They've been redeemed by the blood of the cross. Let the redeemed of the world say so. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They are the born again people. That's how you know their election, their redemption, their justification. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that believing was not of their own determination. That believing was the gift of God to them from Christ. By grace are you saved, through faith, not of works. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's those who are of God. And then he defines another group of people. And he says, the whole world lieth in wickedness, or in the wicked one. Now, the whole world there is not everybody without exception. You can see that, I'm sure. If you can read the sentence, you read English. We are of God. Who's he talking about? Believers. Sinners saved by grace, who have been brought by God to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they cannot leave him. But there are those who are of the wicked one. That's the devil. And there he's referring to the world of unbelievers. You understand that? Not everybody without exception, but the world of unbelievers. And then he says in verse 20, he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Now, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the world of believers there. That group who've been born again by God, who sin not, who cannot leave Christ. They've been given an understanding that we may know him that is true, he says, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That group in the world who are of God, who are not touched by the wicked one, who are not of the wicked one, they have an understanding that was given them by God. And what do they understand? Well, they understand that God is a holy God who must punish all sinners with eternal death to whom sin is imputed. And that's why they understand that the only reason they're saved is the grace of God in not imputing their trespasses unto them. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. They understand that God is holy and just. They understand God's merciful and loving and gracious, but not at the expense of his justice, his righteousness, his truth. God must be both a just God and a Savior, a righteous judge, as well as a loving Father. And the only ground, they understand that the only ground upon which God can save and justify sinners like us is the blood of Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of Christ. They understand that they are sinful people. That's what we are. That even at our best, that God cannot save us by our works because our works aren't good enough. The Bible teaches us that in order for God to be just and justify sinners, there must be a perfect righteousness with no flaw. And they understand, we understand if we've been taught of God through the gospel, by the Spirit, that we fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We fall short of the perfection of righteousness that God requires, but that can only be found in Christ. We understand that if God were to judge us at any time based upon our works, our best works, we would be doomed forever. Because our best works do not equal that perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. Now, this is the group of people he's talking about. They understand that Christ is the only hope of salvation. That it's by his glorious person as God manifest in the flesh. They understand that it's by his glorious work on the cross to save them from their sins. That all of salvation was conditioned on him alone. And that he fulfilled those conditions when he said it's finished. And he was buried. He gave up the ghost. He died. He was buried. He arose again the third day. And he ascended unto the Father. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people on the basis of the righteousness that he established. And they understand not only are they saved by grace, but they are kept by grace. Now, the whole world that lieth in the wicked one is different. That's the world of unbelievers. This word world, let me give you some other scripture. Look over in 1 John 2. We dealt with this in verse 15 earlier, where Christ says, or where John, Christ is speaking through John. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now you understand the word world there doesn't speak of everybody without exception. He's talking about the wicked world, the sin-cursed world, and everyone who's a part of it. And believers are not to love the world. They're to love Christ. They're to love God and His truth. Over in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Here's what Christ told His disciples before He went to the cross. He says in verse 18, He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, obviously, he's not talking about everybody without exception. He's talking about the world that hates him, unbelievers. He says in verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see that? That's the sin-cursed, doomed world. We have to be saved from the world. The Bible teaches basically that the believer has three great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And each of those enemies has to be conquered and overcome. And how are they conquered and overcome? Not by us, but by Christ. He conquered the world. He says, be of good cheer. He said in John 16, I think it's verse 33, he said, in the world you'll have trouble, tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As far as Satan, he's overcome Satan by his death on the cross and by his bringing his people into spiritual relationship with him. And as far as the flesh is concerned, Paul dealt with that in Romans chapter 7. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Christ is the mighty conqueror. And we have victory, but only in Him. And so He says, if you're of the world would love His own. But because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. And therefore the world hateth you. Over here in John 16, verse 8 of John 16. He's talking about His death on the cross. And out of His death is going to come the new birth for His people. Even back in the Old Testament, when they were born of God, born by the Spirit, that life came forth from Christ, who would come in time, in the future, in their future, and bring forth life out of His death. And he says in verse, He's going to send the Holy Spirit in verse 8 of John 16. He says, when He is come, He will reprove or convince or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now the word world there is not talking about everybody without exception. It's talking about the world of God's elect. And you know them because they're going to be convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. They're going to be brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. And then over in John chapter 3, this is the verse that people hone in on and misuse. Is John 3:16. It says here in verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's not talking about everybody without exception. What He's actually talking about there is the ethnic world. And He's talking about God's chosen people all over this world, Jew and Gentile. You see, you have to understand that the unbelieving Jews, who first gave credit to Christianity but didn't really believe it, They wanted to limit it to the Jewish world. But Christ told them, no, 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 God has a people out all over this world out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and the Gentile, Greek or Gentile also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's not restricted to one race. Or one, not just to men and to women, it's all over this world. God has a people. And how are they identified? In John 3:16, he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look down at verse 18 of John 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Back up in verse 17 when he says the world that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't have to send his son into the world to condemn the world. He's already condemned. That's what he says in verse 18. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's talking about the world of unbelievers. And listen to verse 19. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the unbelieving world. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, that's what he's talking about. And back here in 1 John 5, aren't they? He said, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. That's not everybody without exception. Because we are of God. We who believe in Christ, who have been brought to faith in Christ, by God the Holy Spirit, we are of God. But the whole world, the unbelieving world, those who live and die in unbelief, they lieth in the wicked one. They're connected to Satan. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.